Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, Jake. You could follow me on X or Twitter at LewisLewis5. That's LewyLewis and the number 5. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. For today's show, we'll be discussing the NFL Combine and playing GM for NFC East teams. I have covered all the AFC divisions and the NFC North, so check for those. Without further ado, let's get fantasy. So top news is the NFL Combine. I mean, it's one of the best days or best times, I guess, during the whole offseason besides free agency opening. Thursday, today, we got defensive line and linebackers reporting. They're going to do all their testings. Friday is defensive backs and tight ends. So for us, fantasy gamers, skilled position. Tomorrow is going to be key to, you know, with this deep class at tight ends. But Saturday is the day for all of us fantasy gamers. Quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs. It's going to be a star-studded lineup basically throughout the whole day. Sunday, we don't really have to worry about it. It's offensive line. I mean, if you want to see some of the top guys like, you know, Kelvin Benjamin, Will Campbell, and such, maybe you want to tune in if your team needs an offensive lineman. But for me, Saturday is that's the Christmas day. You know, you got your quarterbacks. Shedeur Sanders, I don't believe, is testing, but he's doing the interviews and everything like that. Ashton Jeanty is not doing any of the workouts as well. That kind of sucks not seeing it, but at the same time, they want their film to speak for them. One thing that sucks for us is Travis Hunter. He's testing out as a defensive back corner. I wish he would. I mean, until we get that clarity, if he's going to be a NFL player as a wide receiver or a corner, it's going to be hard for us rookie drafters, dynasty drafting. You know, he's probably at the 103 to even maybe the 102 if he's strictly just a wide receiver. I understand from his, you know, camp that they want him to be a wide receiver because, I mean, that's more money. I mean, that makes sense. But he's a Shohei Ohtani of NFL, you know. Just don't have anyone bet for you. But, you know, you could play defensive back and then play like 12 snaps, 15 snaps total on offensive side of the ball. You're not going to play wide receiver and then them say, hey, get in there and cover that X wide receiver, you know, or such. You know, maybe they just do a slot corner and play offense, but it's hard to see him playing both sides of the ball. So that's one of the downfalls about not seeing him participate with the wide receivers. But we still get to see his combine score and everything like that. So I'm just like excited, like just to be a kid on Christmas morning waiting to see the results, you know, which running back or who's going to stay or, you know, shine and everything like that. I guess for me, tight ends, I want to see Harold Fant Jr. or Fanning Jr. I understand he's not the ideal size for a tight end, but his production, 117 catches, 1,500 yards, like that doesn't go to a tight end, but that's what it was, even though it was Bowling Green, but he still had, you know, 17 catches in one game. What the hell? Or he tore up Penn State and everything like that. He's probably my big one that I want to see for the tight end position. What sucks is Elijah Arroyo I really want to see how he is going to test, but he's not doing it because he suffered, I think, a knee injury or some kind of injury to him at the Senior Bowl. So he's probably one that we're going to want to wait out and wait for his pro day, see how he tests. He's creeping up at, you know, maybe early second, late first round, who knows. He moved really well. I think his Senior Bowl progresses draft stock overall, but it's to be seen, you know, with his kind of limited production throughout college, but he's got that size that you want and look like during the Senior Bowl, the talent. At quarterback, Jackson Dart, I want to know if he's the number three quarterback in this year's draft. If he shows out well, is he going to be a top, you know, first round, top 20, top 15 pick? Where's he going to go? Where is he going to fall? He's one I'm going to be looking out. I like Jalen Milroe for fantasy purposes, but when he's got the inconsistency, like you can't have Anthony Richardson 2.0 in the league. It's just not going to get done. If he could sit behind somebody and develop, it's probably the best option for him in real football. But for us fantasy gamers, we want that production right away and we demand it, you know. Running back, LaQuint Allen is one of my favorite running backs. He's just jack of all trades. Like, he does everything good. If I had to say one area that he does great is catching the ball. You know, he had 120 catches for 3 years at Syracuse. I like the production. Kind of reminds me almost, I don't even know who to comp him to. Like Rashad White, he could catch out of the backfield, but he could run as well. He could pass block. He could do it all. I want to see what he's going to test. I'm trying to think of another guy off the top of my head, maybe. I mean, everyone wants to see Cam Scataboo, what he's going to project and test how he's going to do. A lot of these guys have a lot of proof to sort out, you know, basically the top 10 running backs. I mean, I think in all of our rookie drafts, we're probably going to look and see probably 15 to 20 running back or 15 running backs probably get drafted in your rookie dynasty leagues. That's just my thinking. There's so many of them out there, but let's see what everyone tests. I know we're going to cover that next week, how people did, where we should be, who's our, you know, risers and fallers for the NFL combine, but it's a great thing happening. It's one of the best days. These guys are freaky athletes, and it's going to be proven through this weekend. Before we play, you know, the GM of NFC East teams, let's hear a word from the Podfather.
Rookie, 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 rookie. It's all about rookie talk in fantasy football right now. So why not go use all that knowledge to do something other than a mock draft? Chris Cimino won $8,000 with just two teams last year, and each draft took 5 minutes. That's pretty good ROI. You can start doing rookie drafts for money today on Fast Draft. The Origins Tournament is live. It is the place to go and monetize your knowledge of rookies and use your favorite player profile or host promo code for a $25 deposit match. Now let's go start drafting faster.
Hey, if you want to use my promo code, it's the same as that. LouisLewis5. Check it out. Be sure to follow us also here at Player Profiler. You're already doing it. Now you're watching the YouTube channel Player Profiler Plus. We also offer all-in package. With this, you get the Dynasty Deluxe DFS Dominator World Famous Draft Kit, data analysis, and player ranking. Be sure to check all that out. Also, another way you can check out my content is Fantasy End Zone. Pretty much it's going to be on any podcast hosting site, wherever you get your podcast from. But be sure to tune in to myself on Thursdays for Player Profiler News Primetime, as well as check out everyone else. But let's get into playing the GM. I kind of have to be out here early. I got to pick up the kids from, you know, volleyball and everything else. You know, if you have kids, you understand how time strain everything is. But playing for NFC East, first, I'm doing, like I'm told you before, I'm doing an 8-part segment each division every week. This week is number 6, so I only have 2 more. I got NFC South and West the next 2 weeks. I go breaking down each team, their team needs, salary cap situation, free agency that I want to see, and who to target for the NFL draft. Without further ado, let's play GM. So, like I said, today is NFC East, New York Giants. Woof. I don't know how they retained the GM and the coaching staff, but it was just a terrible season, finishing 3-14. They let Saquon Barkley walk last offseason because why? They decided to give Daniel Jones a big fat contract. When and vice versa, it should have been give Saquon Barkley the big fat contract and franchise tag Daniel Jones to see if he had it in him. And obviously he proved that he didn't, because hell, he got released this past year during the season. It was a one-hit wonder. He didn't even have like touchdowns at MetLife Stadium, his home stadium, for like a year, a passing touchdown. Like, what the hell? How do you pay this guy $30-40 million a year to just suck? Like, and now they cut him. He signed up with the Minnesota Vikings, but it is just a big hit and big loss. Stupidity. That's what it was. But looking at stats from the Giants, they rank pretty much bottom half of the league. Bottom 10 in points scored per game, yards per game, passing yards, because they suck, couldn't pass it, third down efficiency, and interceptions. The only bright spot was they did well in sacks for team-wise. For fantasy purposes, like us, they don't have a quarterback. Drew Lock came on strong at the end of the year. That's about it. Tyrone Tracy, the rookie from Purdue, I believe, right? He's converted wide receiver to running back. He finished as a RB26. He got off to a slow start. In the first 4 games, he was only playing like 25% of snaps. And he finished the season, you know, on a good run. His first NFL start, he had 129 yards. He also had 2 other performances over 100 yards throughout the year. Also, another rookie on the team, rookie sensation, Malik Nabers, drafted 6 overall. Hell of a year for him. He also finished as wide receiver 6 on the year, missing 2 games as well. And in fantasy championship week, he had 7 catches, 171 yards, 2 touchdowns. If you had him starting, you really boosted your win percentage, I would say. But currently, they don't have a tight end. You know, Theo Johnson, he was projecting to be the tight end. He did all right, but he missed the last 5 games, 7 games in total. Daniel Bellinger was non-existent as well. Theo Johnson was probably only getting like 6 points on average, I believe. I didn't look up his average score per week, but it wasn't very high. Let's look at some of the upcoming free agents for this skilled positions. At quarterback, you got Tommy DeVito. Yeah, you're not that good. Tim Boyle, that I think he started a game too. And Drew Lock, like I said, at the end of the season, had a couple of games. Running back, they're not losing anyone. Wide receiver, Darius Slayton, getting older. I think he's 28. Tight end, they're not losing any. Which players would I bring back? I think I retain Drew Lock. He showed promise and can be a reliable backup, I would say. And that's what he's always going to be. He's not going to be a, oh, let's go start. Okay. He's just going to be a backup. He started 5 games this past season. For fantasy, he finished the championship week as QB number 3 on the week. But I think I bring him back and giving them kind of that veteran presence. And, you know, if somebody that they probably draft or pick up goes down, you have a reliable quarterback backup. The league, everyone needs it, because you have one guy go down, you're not going to have a good season in my eyes. I think I let Darius Slayton walk, though. They have neighbors, Wandell Robinson and also Jalen Hyatt. I think they want Jalen Hyatt to show that he could be something. Darius Slayton is 28. Yes, he'll have that veteran presence, but at the end of the day, I think they just want to be young and kind of start fresh. Their salary cap situation, the Giants have $48 million in cap space. These numbers are also based on the 279. Last week, I didn't have those numbers updated, but this is based on the new cap increase. They have $26 million in dead cap due to Darren Waller's retirement, which was $4 million, and the cutting of Daniel Jones, which was $22 million. Free agents, their team needs are obviously quarterback, corner, defensive line, offensive line, and wide receiver. I feel like they'll explore the possibility, and what I hear is rumors of Matthew Stafford and potentially Cooper Kupp as well. I don't believe trading, you know, everything I keep hearing, oh, they're going to trade the number 3 pick for those two. And that's not happening. That is not happening. It's just not. I mean, you're going to have to then pay Matthew Stafford $50+ million. He wants like a $50 million deal, 2 years, $105, $110 million he wants. And you got to pay Cooper Kupp too on top of that. But I don't think with this franchise, they're going to want to trade the number 3 overall pick for that. So I'm not going to say they're going to not trade for him, but it's not going to be for that number 3 overall. Ultimately, though, I think they get a quarterback in the draft process, leaving money available for free agents on the defensive side of the ball and offensive line, because their offensive line was one of the worst in the league. Hopefully they could boost that up and be decent, I guess. But like I said, at the number 3 overall pick, they hit hugely with neighbors in the first round last year. I think they draft Shedeur Sanders. He is my number 1 quarterback in this draft process, in this draft league, or in the draft in general. I don't think Cam Ward is worthy of the number 1 to me. I think Sanders would be a huge addition to this young team. He's very accurate. You know, everyone says, oh, he just chucked it up and had Travis Hunter bail him out. Well, hell, if you want to do that, you might as well have Malik Nabers bail you out, which is better than Travis Hunter in my eyes. But I just think Sanders is a lot more accurate. Yes, he played behind a terrible defense or offense line. Might be the same showing if he did go to the Giants, but he's tough as nails. He'll come back. He'll still step into the throw. He'll do his mechanics. He's got great mechanics. And, you know, everyone that usually goes to like a New York team, they have to play in the bright spotlight. Well, the spotlight has been on him throughout his whole career, being Deion's son. So I have no problem with them taking Shedeur Sanders at the 103 position and drafting my number one quarterback. I also see them using draft picks on the O-line and D-line and corner. I don't think they need to draft a running back just because they have a lot of holes to fill. They also have Tracy and Singletary under contract, but I don't see them really using any picks this year on the running back position just because they have so many holes to fill. And Tracy was coming on strong at the end of the year. However, I could see them drafting a wide receiver like Theo Wesson, Jr. from Colorado. Enough of drafting these small wide receivers for the Giants, Wandell, Kadarius Tooney, or Tony. They get a 6'2 wide receiver that can actually run routes. Sorry, Jalen Hyatt, you only can run straight. You're not good. You can't move your hips. I think he will also help, and he has a connection with Shedeur Sanders already playing at Colorado. So the 2025 outlook for the Giants, Shedeur Sanders and Drew Lock, running back Tyrone Tracy, Devin Singletary, Eric Gray, wide receivers Malik Nabers, Wandell Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, and Theo Wiesen, or Weiss, Jr. And then at tight end, another Theo Johnson and Daniel Bellinger. Chat, what do you think of my skills of the G-men? Let me know. Do you think they take a quarterback at 103, or do they trade for Matthew Stafford? What do you guys think? I think Stafford, how it sounds like, is going to land in, I was going to say Oakland, but in Las Vegas in my eyes. I know Tom Brady's been talking about it and hyping it up, so I don't see the Giants getting him. Next, the Dallas Cowboys, after a great season in 2023, Cowboys fell apart this last year, finishing 7-10. Doesn't help when you're losing, you know, you lose Dak Prescott only after 8 games. He still led the team in passing. That's all good he was compared to his backup, Cooper Kupp, or Cooper Rush, sorry. He had some good moments, though, but overall the team fell apart. They're unhealthy. A lot of the defensive players were banged up early on in the season. They had won 4 out of 5 games down the stretch, but that's because they're getting their defense back. They finished bottom half of the league in points scored per game, which usually with Dak, they're top half at least. Rushing yards per game, time of possession, third down efficiency, and points allowed. They allowed way more than what they normally did, but I think that is because of the beginning of the season they were injured. They did have bright spots in sacks and interceptions, but fell well short of their expectations of going to the Super Bowl. I mean, hell, just making the playoffs alone. They got rid of Mike McCarthy. They did not retain him, but they did promote Brian Schottenheimer to head coach. He's been a longtime assistant throughout the league. Now he's finally getting a chance to be a head coach. I think he's just a bridge coach, to be honest, until Deion decides he wants to leave Colorado. That's just me. For fantasy, though, Dak still finished as quarterback 31, only playing 8 games. Still better than a couple of teams, I guess you'd say. They struggled on the ground, but Rico Dow finished as running back 23. Had a great second half of the season, having 4 top 13 finishes. CeeDee Lamb finished as wide receiver 8, even though he missed 2 games, which hurt a lot because he got hurt during the, or he didn't play in the as our fantasy championship weekend. And, you know, he did well. He had 7 top 15 finishes throughout the year. Jake Ferguson had a setback. You know, he's coming back from injury. He missed 3 games himself. Well, I mean, might as well say 4 because he didn't really play the one that he got hurt early on. He didn't make majority of his snaps in the second half of the season either. He only played like 60% of the snaps after he returned from injury. He finished as tight end 25. Their key skilled position free agents, Trey Lance. Yes, I still like Trey Lance. Cooper Rush, Rico Dowdle at running back, wide receiver Brandon Cooks and Turpin. Tight end, they don't have anyone leaving. Who am I bringing back? Honestly, I would bring back Cooper Rush. He has shown like he could be valuable as a backup in the league. Fill that role just in case if Dak ever gets hurt again. A couple years ago, I think he missed like 5 games and Cooper Rush was like 5-0 in those games. Toward the end of last year, he did win games. He had, like I said, the 4 games out of 5 that they won, but that's also the defense being good. I think Rico will want too much, in my opinion, to, you know, hit the free agent market. And the Cowboys don't have much for salary cap. And speaking of salary cap, they only have $4 million to spend on these, you know, these players. And these are brand new numbers. Last week, it would have been negative $3 million until we got clearance of what the cap can go up to, like the median. So that's what this 279 is the median between where it says it should be. But I see them asking Dak and CeeDee Lamb to move money around, and hopefully that creates more cap space for them. I do believe they're going to have to pay Micah Parsons pretty soon, and he's going to be wanting a lot of money. So just a few different things that they need to look out for. And free agents, like I said, they don't really have much money to spend, but they need a running back. They could use a wide receiver, O-line, D-line, linebackers. Like I said, they don't have much salary cap. So I think they address most of these throughout the draft. And they draft at number 12 overall. They could go a few different ways depending on who falls and who's there. To me, if Cowboys have a chance of drafting Ashton Jeanty, I would select him at number 12 overall. You already have the quarterback in place. You got a big-time wide receiver. Get that running back that can play everything. Get yourself another Zeke. You know, he's a 3-down running back. He can do everything. But I think he's going to be a top 10 pick. So he's not going to be there. To me, what I would do, since he's not going to be there, is wait. Do what the Packers did in 2017 at the running back position and draft 2 of them. They drafted Jamal Williams out of BYU early. And then they got Aaron Jones from UTEP. Well, that 1-2 combo was amazing for them, and it gave them a lot of flexibility that they didn't have to pay another running back big-time money until they actually decided to stick with Aaron Jones over Jamal Williams. So that's what I would do, unless if Jeanty's there, but for this, he's not there. He's a top 10 pick. So with that number 12 overall pick, I am drafting Luther Burden III. Wide receiver out of Missouri. This will help fill that void opposite of CeeDee Lamb, and he just looks so good. That's another guy I want to see. How fast is he going to run? how explosive is he going to be in the three cone drill? I really like his production. His sophomore year, obviously it fell off. His junior year with quarterback play was not good at all for Missouri, but it we'll see. So since I took Burden at 12, like I said, in the next few rounds later on, I'm double tapping at the running back position. I like Woody Marks out of USC. He's got good hands. He's also powerful. He's really good catching, though. That's his prime position out of the running back position. And also drafted guy like Cam Scataboo from Arizona State. Gives you a nice 1-2 punch. Scataboo's a shorter back, very hard-nosed runner. That gives you the thunder, the lightning can be Woody Marks out of the backfield. Catching the ball, running up. And even Cam Scataboo, I think he had over 500 yards receiving as well. So that gives you, to me, a good 1-2. You could rotate those guys in and out. Fresh legs, you know, you're not going to get a Derrick Henry because you already had a chance and you bypassed it last year. Congratulations, Jerry Jones. 2025 outlook, though, Dak Prescott and Cooper Rush is your quarterbacks. Cam Scataboo, Woody Marks, and Deuce Vaughn as your running backs. Your wide receivers, C.D. Lamb, Jalen Tolbert, Ryan Flournoy, Jonathan Mingo, Turpin, and Luther Burden III. At tight end, Jake Ferguson and Luke Schoonmaker. What do you think, chat? What do you think about that? How did I do? Did I suck it again? Or did I do actually decent? Let me know. If you're liking the show, give thumbs up. If you're hating the show, still give me thumbs up or give me thumbs down, whatever. Comment what you guys think I'm doing. How is it going? You know, we'll continue progress this. Washington Commanders making it to the NFC Championship, but falling short against the division rival, Philadelphia Eagles. The Commanders have a lot to look forward to. I mean, I think Dan Quinn is changing the culture there for the Commanders. And I hear a lot of free agents wanting to play for a team of the Commanders and under him. Jaden Daniels is amazing. From being the number 3 overall pick to the next year, NFC Championship. Huge turnaround in just one season. Dan Quinn was a huge part of that, as well as Jaden Daniels, obviously. They finished top 10 in the league for points scored, yards per game, rushing yards per game, time of possession, and third down efficiency. They can work on the defense, though, which was middle of the pack with sacks and interceptions, and as well as points allowed. For fantasy purposes, though, for us, especially in Dynasty, the most probably prized possession going forward might be Jaden Daniels. He scored amazingly through his rookie year, finishing as quarterback 5, and won the offensive player or rookie of the year. He's just somebody that, you know, for fantasy going forward, he's going to be drafted highly just because of his rushing upside. And I don't blame anyone. It's like a Lamar Jackson, but way younger. At running back, Brian Robinson Jr. finished as RB29. His co-partner, Austin Eckler, finishes as RB34 after missing just 5 games. At wide receiver, though, they can use some help, but Terry McLaurin had his best career season, finishing as wide receiver 7. Tight end, Zach Ertz, the 34-year-old, keeps giving us fantasy production, finishing as tight end 7. Here are the key free agent skilled position. Quarterback, Marcus Mariota, Jeff Drexel. Running backs, Jeremy McNichols and Chris Rodriguez Jr. wide receiver, they have Dynami Brown, Noah Brown, Jamison Crowder, CJ Osborne, and Zacchaeus. I'm not even going to pronounce his first name because I can't. So Zacchaeus. Tight end, Zach Ertz. Who am I bringing back? I think bringing back, again, Marcus Mariota. You want to bring back a decent backup. He played well in the couple games he appeared in. If anything happens, Daniel, you just don't want it to be a wasted season, like I said before. So having him, I think, would benefit. Also, on bringing back Dynami Brown in the playoffs, he had two big games, having 5 catches, 89 yards, and a touchdown, and 6 catches, 98 yards. So potentially started getting it going toward the end of the season. Hopefully, you know, that continues for him. I also like Zacchaeus to come back as a number 3 or 4 as well. So I'm bringing him back. Also, hell, let's bring Zach Ertz back as well. I mean, he wants to stay there. I'm sure he'll probably take a friendly deal to stay in that team. Why would you not? Their salary cap situation alone, $82 million they have available. That's based on over the cap. Great cap salary website. If you ever want to check it out, go for it. Also, they potentially could cut Marshawn Lattimore that they received in trade, saving them another $18 million. That'd be $100 million to spend on whatever you want. But their team needs, obviously, I'd say a wide receiver opposite of McLaurin. Edge rusher, defensive line, offensive tackle, and corner. They have plenty of money to get all this help and more. Just get rotating guys. Also, they could acquire Myles Garrett if they so choose to. But I think they just signed other free agents instead of trading their draft picks. It's hard to predict all that. Some guys that they could sign for wide receivers is Stephon Diggs or Amari Cooper. But I think ultimately they'll wait until pick 29 to draft a wide receiver. Unless if they decide to trade that for a Myles Garrett or even a Max Crosby. So with the draft, I have them drafting a first round run or wide receiver. For me, Matthew Golden from Texas, a very explosive player, reminds me a lot of DJ Moore comp is what's coming to my mind. There's speculations that he's not a first rounder, but I think he's growing on me. That's another guy to keep an eye out for during the combine, how he perform, how's his 3-cone drill, 40 time, you know, everything like that. But I think he gives the Commanders a young enough player and also, you know, saves them money in the salary cap for because of free agency. You're not going to be signing anyone. Plus, he came on strong at the end of the season. Very dominant. Quinn Ewers cannot throw a deep ball. I mean, we didn't really see much deep ball from Golden, but I think he could have that in his bag. So that'd be something to see. I just think he just fits this team well in the mold itself. Also, at skilled position, I have them drafting DJ Giddens from Kansas State. I see a lot of, you know, potential for him to come in. I mean, yes, he's going to be a running back 3, but Eckler's not getting any younger. He could be also a cut candidate. I think you'd save like $3.5 million. Brian Robinson Jr., he's not the big, you know, huge name and greatest player at that position. He finished 29 on the season as running back. So maybe getting somebody else in there for competition, that could be a thought process too. I'm not going to predict that they're drafting a tight end because I have them draft or bringing back Zach Ertz. And we got to remember they drafted Ben Sinnott in the second round, I believe, last year. So it might be like a Trey McBride situation. Here, play half the season. Let's get Ben Sinnott in there and see what he could do. So that could be a possibility. 2025 outlook for this Commander team: Jaden Daniels, Marcus Mariota at quarterback, running back Brian Robinson Jr., Austin Eckler, DJ Giddens. Wide receiver, we got Terry McLaurin, Dynami Brown, Luke McCaffrey. I think they just fell in love with his combine last year. So Zacchaeus and Matthew Golden. Tight ends, Zach Ertz and Ben Sinnott. Again, what do you guys think? Am I doing well? Am I kind of sucking ass? I don't know. You tell me. Next, I got to get this one through. I got to hurry up and get my kid. Philadelphia Eagles, your Super Bowl champs, had an amazing season. I mean, hell, they're Super Bowl champs, finishing 14-3 and winning the Super Bowl. Can't get much better than that. They did lose offense coordinator Kellen Moore this offseason to him becoming the Saints head coach. But it seems like every year they always lose their offense coordinator to head coaching jobs or, you know, let go or de-promoting them. Howie Roseman, you are the best GM in all of football. I don't know how this guy just keeps getting better and better players every year. I mean, they signed Saquon Barkley this past offseason, almost breaking the single-season rushing record. The Eagles were top half in, if not top 10, in points scored, points allowed per game, rushing yards per game, time of possession, third down efficiency, sacks, interceptions, you name it, they're probably up there. The only spot that they could improve is passing yards, but hell, when you got Saquon Barkley rushing for 2,000 yards on the ground, I think you could bypass the rushing yards or the passing yards per game. For fantasy, at the quarterback position, the Super Bowl MVP, Jalen Hurts, finished as quarterback 8, missing 2 games. He finished with 2,900 yards passing and 18 touchdowns. He also rushed for 630 yards and 14 scores. I think his outcome is going to be better than quarterback 8 next year. He's going to have more passing yards, more touchdowns through the air. I think he still hits his double digits because of the tush push for rushing. So I think he's going to finish a lot better than QB 8. At the running back position, Saquon Barkley finished as RB2. I think next year it's going to be hard for him to finish as that RB2. He has it in, you know, the realm of possibilities, but I think there's going to be some kind of regression. Also, he didn't get hurt this year, which is a huge plus for him. And we know his injury history. That could be a toss-up as well. You know, it can contribute. He's another year older. Or they might even think about giving Kenneth Gainwell or Will Shipley some more carries to make sure Barkley's fresher. So that takes away from his fantasy performances. At wide receiver, A.J. Brown finishes wide receiver 20, missed 4 games. His co-partner, Devontae Smith, also missed 4 games, and he finished as 27. I think both of these guys finish better next year. Hell, they missed 4 games. That's like almost a quarter of the season alone. But they're going to have better seasons ahead, especially next year. I think both of them probably in the top 16. At least the top 20, I'm going to say at least. Key free agents, quarterback Ian Book. Running back Kenneth Gainwell. Wide receiver Paris Campbell. He still plays. He's a free agent. And tight end CJ Uzma. Who am I bringing back? I think everyone can test free agency, but I would be bringing back Kenneth Gainwell. He's probably not going to cost a bunch. You could get him on the cheap. And, you know, he's relatively okay for a backup. Speaking of salary per over the cap, they have nearly $22 million in cap space. Free agents that they could sign: edge, defensive line, linebacker, tight end, safety. If they sign Zach Bond, I think that's majority of their cap that they're going to be having. He just had an all-pro year. That will fill the linebacker void, but I see he played himself in huge money situation. They don't really have a huge need at any skilled positions. Wide receivers are set, you know, tight ends. They could probably use a little bit of help, but running back and quarterback, they're completely set. In the draft, though, in the first round, unless if they trade it for some reason to get maybe like a Myles Garrett, he's always going to be in the talk for everyone. But I have them drafting Zach Bond's replacement and Jahid Campbell from Alabama. He's the best off-ball linebacker in this year's draft, in my opinion, that would help fill that void of Zach Bond potentially leaving. Later in the draft, I see them probably taking a tight end like a Terrence Ferguson from Oregon. And he just gives me the Cade Otton vibes. He'll fill the void of Dallas Goedert that he's proven he's injury prone throughout his whole career. I think he's only played one whole season. Besides that, he's always missed games. I think he missed four or five this past season. But I think Terrence Ferguson can give you the blocking that you need and good hands that you would want. Lastly, I think also they dip their toes in this troubled wide receiver, which I wish he was going to go to the combine, but with everything going on with his legal situation, I think that's why he didn't get an invite. If you don't know, Kyren Lacy, LSU wide receiver. You know, a couple of years ago, we seen Jalen Carter get drafted by this Eagles team who had like a similar situation, crash that caused a deadly, you know, a death. Unfortunately, I'm sorry for the family and friends of them. But I don't know their whole legal issues, if, you know, he's going to serve any jail time or anything like that. But for this, I'm having him get projected to be drafted by the Eagles. To me, he was a second rounder. But now with his legal situation, he might slide to 6th, 7th undrafted. But this guy gives me Stephon Diggs vibes all over. Like, he's just quick, good, all of his in and outs of breaks. I just wish he was there at the combine so everyone can see it. Legal troubles is going to cause him to slip for sure. But for the 2025 outlook, quarterback, Jalen Hurts, Kenny Pickett, running back, Saquon Barkley, Kenneth Gainwell, and Will Shipley. At wide receivers, you got AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, Jahan Dotson, Johnny Wilson, and Kyren Lacy. At tight end, you got Dallas Goedert, Grant Calateri, and Terrence Ferguson. Let me know what you guys think on my NFC East teams. Let me know in the chat. I'd love to know. Also, you could DM me at Louie Lewis on Twitter. Let me know.
And that is a wrap of today's episode of Fantasy End Zone. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to give it a follow, like, subscribe, click on the little bell notification. It helps the podcast and helps myself. Remember to follow me on Twitter as well at Louie Lewis 5. That's LEWYLEWIS and the number 5. I'll catch you guys next week where I'll be playing the NFC South GM. I'll see you fantasy heads later, and peace.